Today is May the 29th, 1997, and we are in Stuttgart at the Lunsmannschaft, and we are doing an interview with Anton Bosch. And we are ready to begin. Anton, can you describe briefly some background information about yourself, auf Deutsch?
Ja, ich bin geboren am 28. Oktober 1934 in einer deutschen Kolonie, Settlement Kandel bei Odessa am Schwarzen Meer, das heute zur Ukraine gehört. Und ich bin dort in der fünften Generation zur Welt gekommen. Meine Vorfahren kamen aus Südwestdeutschland, aus dem Elsass väterlicherseits und aus Schwabenland hier bei Stuttgart mütterlicherseits im Jahre 1808 in dieses Dorf und haben dieses Dorf mitgegründet, das Dorf Kandel mitgegründet. Ja, 1941 kamen zunächst zu uns die rumänischen Soldaten. Da war ich damals 7 Jahre alt. Und wir waren unter der rumänischen Verwaltung, unter Bukarest, mehrere Jahre. Die deutschen Soldaten kamen erst zu uns 1943, 1944. Und als nach Stalingrad die Front zurückging, es ist dann komplett das ganze Dorf Kandel, 3700 Einwohner, in den Westen umgesiedelt worden.
Could you say part of that out in English? Mm-hmm.
Can you scoot to your left just a little bit? Where so look in this one? There we go.
Yeah. I will try in English.
A little bit more of the settlement, the umsiedelt.
Yeah, okay. I told you that we going in 90.
Excuse me, I would like to have where he was born and everything in English.
In English, okay.
So yeah, the beginning so part, so we know where you came from as well.
I was born on 28th of October in 1934 in the village Kandel on the Black Sea by Odessa. And when I was 7 years, they came to our village the Roman soldiers, and we are the management from Bucharest was in our country 3-4 years.
The Romanian soldiers?
Romanian soldiers in Romanian management. And in middle of March in 1944, we resettled resettled in the west in the Polish country, mm-hmm. And end of 1944 before Christmas we go west about Oder River to Saxonia country, and end of April in 1945 came to our village American soldiers, you know,
yeah.
And they stay in this country, in this area, only 6 weeks.
In Saxony.
In Saxony, yes. And end of July, the American army go west to the Elbe River,
yeah.
And 3 days later, Russia army to us.
Yeah.
And then, on this day, when came American soldiers in our village on 28 April 1945, my mother became two children, zwillings?
Zwillinge, twins.
Twins, children,
yeah?
And boy and girl, yes? And this day, ne? Mm-hmm. Is in my remember, ne?
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And I go on this day to the American tanks, and the soldiers give me lunch, cakes and
candy
and gums and cigars. I have the cigars for my father.
Wieder mal auf Deutsch jetzt und dann später kommt der Mensch. Welche Erinnerungen haben Sie über das Leben in der ehemaligen deutschen Dorf in der Ukraine? Die zweite
Frage.
Ja,
ich kann mich noch gut erinnern an die Zeit vor dem Krieg. Also das Dorf war groß. Ich spreche jetzt von dem Dorf Kandel.
Ja.
War etwa 2 Kilometer lang, und es war die lange Dorfstraße am Wasser, also am See entlang, am Liman entlang, und in der Mitte des Dorfes auf dem hohen Berg die Kirche und daneben dann die Schule. Die Schule bestand aus 2 Gebäuden, unten an der Hauptstraße und das zweite Haus, Schulgebäude, etwas oben neben der Kirche. Und ich habe auch diese Schule von 1941 bis Frühjahr 1944 besucht. Ich habe dort noch 3 Klassen in Deutsch gelernt. Das Dorf hat aber noch eine zweite Bergstraße gehabt, die ging auch parallel zur Hauptstraße. Und oben hinter der Bergstraße waren dann die Weingärten und die Obstgärten, und dahinter dann das Feld, wo man Weizen und Getreide angebaut hat.
Ja.
Und mir ist in Erinnerung noch, also dieser Liman, dieser See, wo wir Kinder die Pferde gebadet haben im Sommer, und im Winter sind wir dann Schlittschuh gelaufen und Schlitten gefahren auf dem Eis. Wir hatten also hier auch Kontakt gehabt mit dem Nachbardorf, mit der Ukraine, mit den Ukrainern, mit Gradenica. Mir ist auch in Erinnerung, dass also meine Eltern hatten Freunde auch, nicht nur unter den Deutschen im Dorf, sondern auch mit Ukrainern, die, man sagte damals Snaku, das ist also ein ukrainisches Wort und heißt so viel wie ein guter Freund oder auf Englisch good friend. Und die haben sich halt gegenseitig besucht, die haben auch kleine Geschäfte gemacht, Obsthandel getrieben oder Wein gekauft und verkauft, aber auch an Feiertagen. An Feiertagen haben sie sich gegenseitig besucht, und auch die Kinder haben einen ukrainischen Onkel. Das war so üblich, dass man auch Beziehungen hat von Familie zu Familie. Aber ansonsten hat sich das Leben im Dorf autonom, also geschlossen, abgespielt. Das war ja ein rein katholisches Dorf, und naja, Schule, Kirche und die ganze Woche halt auf dem Feld oder auf dem Bauernhof. Man hatte auch einen Obstgarten, man hatte Gemüsegarten, man hatte auch Pferde im Stall, 2, 3, manchmal hatten wir 4 Pferde, 2 bis 3, 4 Kühe, ja, 20, 30, 50 Hühner im Stall, 2, 3 Schweine, also das Eigenproduktion für Eigenbedarf, ja, Fleisch und Obst und Gemüse für den Winter halt. Und mir ist noch in Erinnerung dieser tiefe Keller, mit Stein ausgemauerter Keller, weil es gab ja kein Kühlschrank, kein Refrigerator.
So there were no refrigerators.
Ja, und da hat man alles, die Produkte, die Lebensmittel, in diesem kühlen Keller und ganz tief, ja, 4, 5 bis 6 Meter tief in der Erde aufbewahrt, und da war die Temperature konstant, ja. Und was noch in Erinnerung ist, dass morgens früh wurden die Kühe auf die Straße gebracht und dann sind sie eingesammelt worden und dann auf das Feld, auf die Weide getrieben. Und am Abend sind sie dann alle wieder zu bestimmten Zeit abgeholt worden. Ne? Das war für die Kinder ein Erlebnis. Man saß immer auf den Mauern außen und hat also geschaut, mehrere tausend Kühe gehen durch das Dorf, eine Staubwolke. Welche ist jetzt unsere Kuh? Waren ja alle rot. Und um die herauszufinden, das war immer ein Problem, dass sie nicht vorbeigeht, sonst muss man weit laufen und die zurückholen.
So in 1944 then, that whole village was, all of the people were taken to Saxony, moved to Saxony. And then, can you tell a little bit in English perhaps about what happened after 1944 when the American soldiers left? Mm-hmm. And that the Russian, when the Russians came, and then your life later in the Urals.
Now after 1945, when American soldiers go to west, outside the Elbe River, 3 days later come Russian soldiers to our village, and assembling in a place, in a big place. More thousand people was assembled in these places, and end of August in 1945, we go per railway to east, to east of Russia, of north of Ural, place, area, they were called in the winter. And we was in this railway more than 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah,
on the
for 2,000 kilometers.
2 months, 2,000 kilometers
on the rail.
On the railroad.
On the railroad.
The Ural, Ural Mountains.
Yeah, it was a very, very strong life in this time.
Difficult.
Very difficult. Very difficult life without hot eating, without water, without a normal. Sanitary conditions, and in end of this trip, in end the last 2 days, died my small sister and small boy, small brother.
The
brother,
twins.
Yeah, the twins. The twins.
Had
yes,
been born
yes,
on
yes,
the day
yes,
that the
yeah,
Americans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How big a family did you have? What was the size of your family?
How many brothers?
Yeah,
sisters?
Also my first sister was died in Polish country, and these twins, sister and brother. Died in Siberia when we arrived in this country. Yeah, in end of October was this. It was very cold, was snow, was ice in this area, and we come in summer house. It was very cold, without water,
without heating,
yes, in another conditions. Mm. And the first problem was my sister and my brother, and zu beerdigen.
They were buried.
Yes, that was a big problem
to bury them.
Yes, we buried it, and we don't know. Was the place? I don't know.
You've forgotten where.
Forgotten.
Where they were
buried. When you went to Siberia, then it was your mom, your dad, and you.
In the last time. No, I wasn't. No.
No, I mean in 1945.
Yes, I know. Yeah. It was in north of Ural, in area Udmurtia. and the end of the iron road in the end, in the taiga, in the forest.
In the taiga.
And in the taiga.
And where
the... And the place, the name is Quilmes. Quilmes.
Is, were there other brother of your brothers and sisters, two besides the twins and the one sister who died in Poland, and you, that's four, were there other brothers and sisters?
I'm one.
You're only one.
I'm the last, the you're, first you're, and the last.
You're
and
the last. Only child to survive through this.
Mm-hmm. And my father was in the German soldiers and was in the west side, in Bavaria, coming to the American army and still here in West Germany. And mother with children's deportation to
Ural.
To Ural. And we're living 10 years in this place, closed with a small group, Germans, more than 365 persons. Closed between the Russia and another ethnics.
Mm-hmm.
Closed in area
surrounded
as a isolation from another ethnics. We was isolation from another ethnics 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years of isolation
Yeah.
What other ethnics were around you?
Yeah, the most was Russia, and the country is Udmurtian. It's a Ugrofinic group.
Yeah.
Ethnic group. That's their own country.
Yeah, Ugric Finnic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And after that, so that was 10 years of the Kommandantura time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, could you say some more?
After Stalin died in 1953, 2 years later, come Bundeskanzler Adenauer to Moscow in 1955. And that was a big question. And Adenauer want us to going to the West Germany.
Return.
Yeah. And Khrushchev said, no, at our Soviet Germans. Yeah. We became a passport, but the passport allowed only in around 100 kilometers
to travel.
Yes. And later, 2 years later, allowed for us to travel east, but not in the west part of Soviet Union, but not for Ukrainian, but not for Black Sea, but not for my village
homeland
in Kandel, but only in the east side from Ural to the Pacific. Yeah.
And your family did go east?
We go southeast to Karaganda. Why we go in this direction? Because my grandfather, my grandmother, and my uncles living in this city, they came earlier from German direct to the Karaganda. And we going to him together, to this city. And we lived, I married my wife, Irma, and we lived in Karaganda from 1961 to 1973. And I go in the high school after this Spitzkommandantur was allowed to study. Started in the high school in the evening time. In the normal time, I'm going working in the factory, in a power station, and in the evening, I studied 6 years in the high school. And after this time, I closed this study in 1968. And then 5 years later, we go from Karaganda to the west border, to Chisinau, on the Romanian border. And from this point, we was very happy. We went then in 1974 to West Germany, to Nuremberg city.
Mm-hmm.
And our father was died earlier in 1964. I don't see
Him. Never saw him after 1945.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
When you met, how did your wife get to the city from Landau? Where you met her?
About my wife.
About your wife. You said you met your wife after you had moved from the camp. How did she come from Landau in Ukraine?
Yeah, well, Landau is a neighbor village, a few
kilometers
or more, I think. But that's not a problem. The Germans have contacted together, and when came Romanian soldiers to our area, it was allowed to come back from Landau to Baden to Kuchergan villages. And the parents from my wife was born in Baden, in neighbors from Kuchergan. And in Stalin time, he must going to Landau. And when came Romanian soldiers, he come back in his own house in Ishaun village. Yeah, that's the reason.
Mm. So your wife, roughly same history from
the same
that
history.
Area,
yes.
To the Urals,
yes.
Back to Poland,
yes. Yeah.
And then out. Yeah.
My wife had the same way. They come from Baden, parallel 3 days after us to Polish and then to Saxon country, and then the Russia come and transportation to the north of Ural, another city, 400 kilometers on the north side from our place. Yes, mm-hmm. I learned my wife in 1958, and we contacted this with letters, with briefing, and mm-hmm. I go to this time this railway or this plane, more times, and after 3 years we married in 1960, end of July. And then in Karaganda we became two girls. Our first girl was born in 1964, and the second girl was born in 1967. And we came to Germany. The first was 10 year old, and the second 7 year old. The first is now 33 years. He is doctor on the high school. Professor for economic and sociology, mm-hmm. and the second is after closing the high school is in advertising company in Munich, and the third daughter is was born here in Germany in Nuremberg. He is in office. In Bureau.
After you got here to Germany,
mm-hmm.
what did you do for a profession? Did you speak German though?
Yeah.
Did you speak German when you got here?
That's a good question. We spoke two languages. In the home, in my family, only German, my own dialect. Also, wir redeten haben, so wie ihr, Schwarzmeerdeutsch, den alten Dialekt. Mhm. Und draußen im Büro oder auf der Straße, in the street or in the office, in the manufactory, we spoke only Russian. And I, my study, four years in the ground school in Germany, in German language, and since the fifth class in Russia, we changed and study only in Russia. Yeah, my ground school and then the high school only in Russia. And my technical language and my technology language and my financial language was only Russia.
And in my home, is my family, was only dialect, German dialect. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And we're thinking in two languages, and here the dictionary in my head.
When after you were married and still living in Russia, did you speak Russian in the home or German in the room?
No. We spoke never in my home in Russia. Never in the flat. It is a problem when came the television in the flat. It was in 1962, 1963. We have in the home have the Russian language. It was a problem for my children, for my my mother, for my wife. That was a battle, a language battle, I would say.
Between, and how did that show itself? You mean that that your children then struggled which language to speak, that they spoke Russian
in Russia?
German when the TV came in too? Mm-hmm. Can you say more about how that affected? When the TV came into your home, your children then began to speak more Russian, and then that was a problem with your mother?
No, we spoke only in my home German dialect. Mm-hmm. Not switched the television. Yeah, or we turn off when the children sleep. No? And when the children go to the Russian school, can't speaking Russian. He started with the school another language.
Yeah.
And when we came to Germany, that was not a problem for our children. They started to hear very quickly, and was not a problem here with integration in this culture in West Germany for my family and for the children.
Because was it a problem for you and your wife?
No, it wasn't a problem, no.
Because you had both
like... For me, it was a little bit, by the starting here in the big firm, in the company, the technical, technological language, this was for me a little bit new. And here the progress is higher than in Russia. It was for me new and a little bit difficult. No, after 2-3 years, I was at the same level.
But the Spät Osiedlers, the later Germans who came out of Kazakhstan, Siberia, now to Germany, struggled because they only know...
I think it's a generation problem. The oldest generation, older than 50 years, have a rest from all dialect, spoke good all dialect. Mm-hmm. And there's a good start, there's a good basic for the new German language here, you know. And younger people cannot speaking as old dialect, and he must hear change from Russia to the high German language.
It's very difficult.
And then he needs more time for this process. I think 3, 5, maybe 10 years he needed for this switching, for this changing in the language and in the culture. That's two problems here, two problems.
Can you
he was learning here in a new life, was this advertising, was this hills, was this computer, was this a car, was this the label on the highway, and a lot of problem.
And more, so that's on the one side. What about the cultural or the thinking? Could you say more, as we have spoken, about the thinking perhaps, that the way of thinking of the younger generation, mm-hmm. and how they have to change. That is probably point number 7 there.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps
more. Yeah. The greatest problem, I think, is not the political issue, but rather the older way of thinking, and older patriarchal way. That is the German-Russian still have visit and to change a new ideas and still follow the manner of them, making the decisions. That's a problem between the old generation and young generation, you know. The old generation is more the father, is a big boss, and the younger is in this level. And it was in the old life, in the old time, before come the Soviets, the same problem, right? And he must create in the new, here, in the democracy time, he must new learning what is your places here in technology, in the office, between the young peoples, in between young and older peoples. And that's a long, long way here. I think it may be longer than learning the high German language.
Yeah.
Longer. I think maybe one generation meet
for the changing
and is this culture.
For the assimilation.
Yes.
I was wondering, what happened politically in the world that allowed you, your family, to come back to Germany?
Yeah.
And now allows other Germans to come back to Germany?
Yeah. I didn't understand
you. He's asking what are the political situation that allowed your family to come here. So probably to begin with, is
when I come to Germany in 1974, for us it was another life, it's liberty here. And it was a little bit difficult for us. It is political meaning, several parties, yeah. And we must change in our meaning, our opinion. The biggest problem was the tolerance. The tolerance, the whole problem from all this generation. Then we have one meaning, that our meaning is the right way, we say. But communists and Soviets, it is wrong way. And we are in the family and we love a right life. But here in the West, there are several meanings that we must this
choose between.
Between, yeah, difficult, several, these political rights. It is a problem for the older and for the younger people. Yeah? Well, this is a long process.
Also
in Russland ist so, es gibt, gab damals die offizielle Politik, die Partei, was die Kommunisten gesagt haben, das war im Büro, das war in der Schule, das war in der Hochschule, das war im Kino, das war im Theater, das war in der Zeitung, das war in den Büchern, überall dasselbe. So, und man müsste ja, wenn man lernen, studieren wollte, auch das sagen wir mal, studieren und dann auch vortragen. Es war die offizielle Linie. Aber am Ende war es so, dass also nicht nur jetzt die Deutschen, sondern auch die Russen selbst haben nicht mehr an das alles geglaubt, was die Partei gepredigt, gesagt hat. Und vielleicht manche Kommunisten, aber die meisten waren auch bei den Kommunisten Mitläufer, die haben nur das Billett, also Ticket genommen, damit sie einen Posten bekommen, ja, im Büro oder in der Fabrik. Weder ich noch meine Frau noch meine Kinder waren nicht in der Partei. Ich war ganz kurz im Komsomol, 2 Jahre, aber danach, weil ich hätte die Schule verlassen müssen, ich hätte weggehen müssen vom Technikum, das war eine technische Mittelschule. Und 1957 habe ich also dieses Büchlein verbrannt, in den Ofen geworfen. Und dadurch natürlich auch mit dem Office, also mit dem Chef, Probleme bekommen.
Could you say that in English?
Not to worry,
but
anyway,
continue.
And I was not in the party. I was only 2 years in the younger organization, Komsomol. And it was need for my school and for my technical school, for my study in the technical school. After then, I broken this books and burned them in the oven. And that was a problem with the communists, with the manager for me, and I must after that change my place. We go from Ural to Karaganda after that time. And we was not in the party. We was not in the party.
Did that make it easier for you then to leave and come to Germany, not being in the party? How did you then finally come to Germany? Mm-hmm. Was there a political situation that brought that about that you could leave?
Right. I tell you in German, I would be better. We had a briefwechsel with the father. Bevor gestorben ist, die ganzen Jahre nach Adenauers Besuch in Moskau, nach 1955, haben wir Briefe geschrieben über das Internationale Rote Kreuz in der Schweiz und haben dann den Vater gefunden, hier in Bayern, bei München. Und dann haben wir von 1956 bis 1964 Briefe geschrieben an den Vater und er auch an uns. Und wir haben dort immer in Karaganda auch Anträge gestellt für die Auswanderung im Rahmen der Familienzusammenführung. Together, the family. Und als der Vater gestorben war, haben wir keine Chance mehr gesehen, zu kommen. Dann, nach 1970, als der Bundeskanzler Willy Brandt in Moskau einen Vertrag mit Brezhnev abgeschlossen hat, dass auch Familien jetzt Russlanddeutsche nach Westdeutschland, aber auch in die DDR, nach Ostdeutschland auswandern dürfen, haben wir einen neuen Antrag gestellt in Karaganda. Und ich habe dann nach 5 Wochen Absage bekommen, für unsere Familie Absage bekommen. Und die haben dann so geurteilt, wenn Deutschland Ingenieure braucht, sollen sie selbst Ingenieure ausbilden, du bleibst hier in Kasachstan. Dann war nur die Alternative, von Kasachstan wegzukommen. Dann sind wir von Karaganda nach Chisinau, das sind 3000 Kilometer, umgezogen, ganze Familie. Und von dort haben wir einen neuen Antrag gestellt. Und nach 7 Monaten haben wir dann Erlaubnis bekommen, nach Westdeutschland umzusiedeln. So, also wir waren immer in Opposition zu der Partei, zu den Sowjets. Ja, wir waren immer so im privaten Bereich, unter uns auch. In Karaganda lebten damals etwa 600.000 Einwohner, Employees, und davon waren 75.000 Deutsche. Und die meisten Schwarzmeerdeutsche oder Wolgadeutsche. Und dann hat man auch, also meine Frau zum Beispiel in der Schule, die war Lehrerin, die meisten Kinder, also 70-75% stammen aus schwarzmeerdeutschen Familien und wolgadeutschen Familien, sodass man auch in diesem Bezirk, in diesem Part, auch City in Karaganda, die Deutschen unter sich waren. Ja? Sodass man auch Kontakt hatte miteinander und auch Tipps gegeben hat, wie könnte man nach Deutschland oder in den Westen kommen. Ja? Okay,
maybe a little bit in German and in English,
In 1970, Willy Brandt, the Bundeskanzler, came to Moscow, to Brezhnev. He go together on the Black Sea and the Crimea. And after this time, allowed 200 or 300 families to go to West, to East Germany and to West. The most of this 300 maybe families go to the West Germany. I think 50 or 70 or 100 families go to East.
And you were the first Aussiedlers.
This was the first Aussiedlers. It was the first program, the first test, you know. And this was so the explosion. The more and more and more Russlanddeutsche tried to go after us to West Germany. And then after 1974, the coast, this action in Moldavia, in Chisinau. They said, the office is closed, they must do here preparation in this building, you know, and my relationships, my cousins and my go back from Kishinev to Kazakhstan, but not the flats, but not the places and then and then because I was in a factory. Not time, not the work far from him. And I go back to the Karanda, and after 20 years we come to Germany. We was very, very happy this time. That's a we was successful in our way. I made, I think that the count, the basis was my father lived here in West Germany, and we have with him briefly the letters. And then he died, and we became from here, from office here, information that our father is dead, and 2,000 marks here for us and the bank. And I answer in my letter here in office, I wish to see a few 1,000 marks for a minute, for his grave, yes. And it was the last information from here from government, but when I came in Karaganda. And then the communists and the government in Russia saw that I will go to the West. That's my opinion. That's my way. And that's
you know, baby, in the
right?
I'm going to go back to the back. We're going to go back to Ukraine.
Unsere Leute durften auch im europäischen Teil, auch in der Ukraine, sich ansiedeln, aber nicht in der deutschen Kolonie, nicht in dem Ort, wo man geboren war. Nicht mal in der Nachbarschaft, aber nur wenn der Bürgermeister eine Erlaubnis gibt, dass man dort aufgenommen und arbeitet wollen bekommt. Aber nicht im Heimat, sondern weiter weg. 20, 50 oder 100 Kilometer weiter weg. Und erst jetzt, nachdem das Sowjetsystem aufgelöst worden ist, jetzt dürfen auch die Leute, also erst ab 1990, wieder in ihr Heimatdorf in der Ukraine kommen. Das war eigentlich der Hauptgrund, weshalb meine Verwandten, meine Freunde nicht in die Ukraine gekommen sind, sondern nach Westdeutschland. Wenn man uns damals, 1956, nach Steins Tod, erlaubt hätte, in die Ukraine zu gehen, wären alle, ich würde, was sicher, zu 1995, wären noch kommen, verwisst worden, Kutscher wären gekommen. Ich auch, ja, gewesen. Damals, also meine Brüder, ich war noch, sagen wir mal, jung, ich war, ja, 20 Jahre alt, 22, ich wäre gekommen. Obwohl ich schon 1956 mit 22, mein Vater lebte noch, die deutsche Botschaft, die war gerade ein Jahr im Hotel Nekropol untergebracht gesucht habe, und hat auch dort gedacht, wir wollen zusammen zu unserem Vater nach Westdeutschland kommen. Und als ich dem Sohn das erzählt habe, nach dem Antrag gestellt habe, haben sie mir geantwortet, der Vater soll von Deutschland nach Kasachstan kommen. Habe ich gesagt, nein, das ist nicht.
So, basically, nobody was allowed. In English, perhaps you could say that nobody was allowed back to the home villages in Ukraine after coming to Tura and lifted.
No, after coming to Tura, was not allowed to go in the United States in the European part, and the Kondal and the next area, but was allowed only to look on the east side from Ural, Kazakhstan, to the Pacific in the Taiga only. After 1964-65 was allowed to go to European area, but not in the home, but not in the home villages, but in the neighbor cities, in the neighbor villages. One or two from the area, from our home, you know. And after 1992, was allowed to go back to the old villages, kind of ourselves, or the Kuchigan, or the Landau, or the home villages. The Germany, this time the most, to West Germany, but not to the Ukraine. That's the reason. When the Soviets allowed to earlier, in the 15 or 16 years, I am sure that the most go to the Ukraine, the most, 90 or 95%.
Do you
really? But I'm not to go there. So that's the old home.
So you have to be relatives. I return to Kambu. Yes, are you?
Yes.
From Zikaran, yes. From Zikaran, see in Gokor, see in Nanakura.
Ukasha.
Yes.
In
1907.
Nein. Isn't that in Iceland? Oder jetzt nach Westdeutschland. Ja. Alle unsere Mann. Ja, 60 Personen sind von den Verwandten Kreis, von der Cousine, und der. Na, 1989 jetzt nach Deutschland.
Do you think
the deportations
that displaced
from the Germans from Russia? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. Our the German Germans from Russia
writing a lot of all the deportations and displacements to them. Catholic group lost more than 50 years of the region of West called Democracy from this last year. A group of poison religion.
My profession is an electrical engineer for our station and for transformers for the network, for electrical network. And I studied, I told you, when I was 68 in Colorado. And I worked in the office, in the network authority, network for our station and electricity power company. Okay, I was